This is Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston, and you're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio, 89.5 FM and 92.5 FM in good old McLean County in Bloomington Normal, 88.3 in Pontiac, 97.1 in Lincoln, 89.1 DeKalb Sycamore, 89.3 in Morris Joliet, and 88.9 in the Rockford area, Marengo, Harvard, Beloit, and some of southern Wisconsin, covering much of central and northern Illinois and growing thanks to you. We're going to have a great show for you today. I'm here with my wife, Lynn. And as always, remember, this is brought to you by you. So any donations that you can make, we need those donations now. And if you can make a donation, please do it now. You can go to our website, and that's CatholicSpiritRadio.com. Again, that's CatholicSpiritRadio.com. And it will tell you more about us and more information about us and also how to make a donation. You can call us. Our number is 309-807-2427. Again, that's 309-807-2427. So either way, if you can make a donation, do it now. As I said, I'm here with my wife, Lynn. We're going to have a great show for you today. We were gone last week, and the week before, we talked about white Christian nationalism, and we're done with that, and we'll talk about some other issues today. So before we start, I'm going to ask my wife, Lynn, is there anything she would like to say?
Well, we're coming to the end of the Easter season. If you have not made your Easter duty, do it now. It's the Easter season is completed on Pentecost, which is coming up very fast. We're going into the fifth week of Easter this weekend. This Sunday starts the fifth week. So you don't have much time left. Go to confession, receive communion, do your Easter duty. Okay, Bob, what are we talking about today?
Well, we're going to talk about some issues that I'll get into here in just a minute, a little bit actually about our Constitution. We're going to talk about power. As I mentioned the last time, the week before last, we talked about white Christian nationalism, and we spent a couple of shows on that and spent quite a bit of time on it and pointed out that really it's a phony issue. There's no such thing. And it's just another issue that progressives use in order to advance their cause and get power. And so everyone out there should always remember that many, if not most, in fact, probably all of the progressive issues, whether real or not, and many are not, many are phony, are always used to advance their cause and to transfer power from others to themselves. So always remember that. Even if the issue is not phony, the issue is never really the issue. The issue is always power and how the progressives can use any issue to get it and keep it. And this goes back to a man by the name of Saul Alinsky, who was from Chicago, Illinois, and he wrote a book called Rules for Radical. And by the way, Saul Alinsky was an associate of Barack Obama when Barack Obama was a neighborhood organizer in Chicago. And he wrote the book Rules for Radical. And the point is that he stressed that the issue was never really the issue. The issue was always about transferring power from those people who have it to the progressives themselves. And Alinsky's hero, by the way, was Satan. He considered Satan his hero. He considered Satan the first radical revolutionary and the master of deceit. And we have to remember in Scripture, Jesus said that Satan, he told the apostles that he is the father of lies. He told the apostles that Satan was a liar from the beginning. And this is the means that Satan uses. The diabolical means is always a means of lies, and the purpose of it is always to transfer power from someone else to the father of lies, Satan himself. And progressives use that same technique. And progressivism is mostly and often deceit, complete deceit and nothing but deceit. Even actual issues are used for the transfer of power. So that's something to remember. In most of the issues today, people argue back and forth these issues, and every time they make a concession to the left or to the progressives, that is transferring power from themselves over to the progressives, because the issue is never really the issue. The issue, that is, the movers on the left do not care about the issue. Whatever it is, it might be a real issue, but the point is that the issue is not really to solve the issue. The issue is always to transfer power from someone else to themselves.
It's a way of camouflaging what they are doing.
Exactly, because it always was, it always is, and it always will be solely a path to power. So when you hear all of these issues such as diversity, equity, inclusion, it's about power and more power. And the real movers, I mean, don't really care about those issues. The people at the top don't. Climate, gender, gay rights, racism, and now, of course, the pro-Palestinian or the pro-Hamas movement. It is always, the argument is about power. And the argument is always used to take power away from you and transfer it to themselves by getting you to make concessions. And so every issue is ultimately a lie. And just remember that. He, Satan, was a liar from the beginning. Saul Alinsky's hero was Satan. And the left uses that technique that Saul Alinsky, the book that Saul Alinsky wrote, the pamphlet, actually, that Saul Alinsky wrote, Rules for Radicals. And they use that as a means of argument to transfer power from others to themselves. And if you go on the defensive and try to defend the issue that they're talking about, they don't really care. At least the people at the top don't really care. And what's going to happen is you'll be on the defensive, they'll be on the offense, and power will be transferred from you to them. So you have to be very careful and always keep in mind that Satan was a liar from the beginning, and that the whole issue is always a lie in the sense that it's being used to transfer power. So,
right. Solinsky dedicated his book to Satan.
Exactly. You are correct there. He did. So I want to talk here about our own Constitution and point out the fact that actually the founders of our country, the people that wrote the Constitution, especially James Madison, was very aware of power being an issue and the weaknesses and so forth of the Constitution. And so it plays into this idea of the transfer of power from people who try to defend the Constitution or try to defend various issues over to others who are always proposing the issue for whatever it happens to be, for a different means than simply the issue itself, but a means of gathering power, gaining power for themselves to be used against the people that they're arguing with. So I'm going to read from an article here, and it's taken from the Epoch Times newspaper. It's the week of April 3rd to April 9th, 2024, if you want to get that issue. And the author of the article is Roger Kimball, and Roger Kimball is the author and publisher of The New Criterion and publisher of Encounter Books. His most recent book is Where Next? Western Civilization at the Crossroads. And we certainly are at a crossroads. And he has the article here in the Epoch Times, in the opinion page of the Epoch Times. And the title of the article is Does the Constitution Matter? And so I'm going to read from that, and I think it will show exactly that everything at bottom goes to this idea of power. It says here, the U.S. Constitution, formally adopted in 1789, is one of the oldest written constitutions in the world still in place. At about 4,400 words for its original seven articles, it is also the shortest. The 27 amendments to the original Constitution add only another 3,000 words. So that's not really a lot as constitutions or any political writing goes. The English text of the European Union Constitution, by contrast, is some 60,000 words, 265 pages of bureaucraties and regulatory gobbledygook. Anyone who has spent time with the U.S. Constitution and pondered the immense labor that went into its drafting has to be impressed. The framers scoured the past for models and inspiration, negative as well as positive. There were examples of plenty of what not to do. Exactly how to articulate the rules of a Republican government in which the people were sovereign and individual liberty was paramount turned out to be a very tricky proposition. As an aside, I note that the framers would have been astounded by Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's recent observations in a case about the government's forcing social media companies to censor speech, that the First Amendment was hamstringing the government in significant ways. Indeed, that was the very point of the First Amendment's speech clause, to impede, that is, hamstring the government's ability to suppress free speech. And it's just, you know, laughable what these people come up with, the misunderstanding that they show of what the Constitution was for in the first place. I mean, the whole idea of the First Amendment, the whole idea of the free speech clause is to protect the citizen from the government. They were worried about the power that government accrues to itself and encroaches on the individual citizens. And individual citizens are very much at risk to a powerful government. And this is what the founders were worried about and why they put those clauses in there. That's the very point of having a free speech clause in the first place, is to hamstring the government and keep the government from directing speech and everything else to its own benefit at the cost of the citizens themselves. It goes on here. It says, more generally, the U.S. Constitution aimed to protect citizens from the arbitrary or meddlesome exercise of state power. As the supreme law of the land, Article 6, the U.S. Constitution was a magnificent brief for liberty and the rule of law. From the very beginning, however, it was recognized that the efficacy of the Constitution ultimately rested not upon its arguments, its stipulations and provisions, but upon a background of shared, if largely unspoken, commitment to the form of government it articulated. In that, you know, the misunderstanding about the free speech clause shows that that sharing and understanding of the Constitution can certainly break down. In Federalist 48, for example, James Madison wondered whether it would be sufficient to mark with precision the boundaries of these departments in the constitution of the government and to trust in these parchment barriers against the encroachment spirit of power. And there were the anti-federalists who poo-pooed this idea, said that these were but that. They were just parchment barriers. They were just, you know, lines in effect on pieces of paper. I think it was actually Patrick Henry that made a speech about this, pointing out that the separation of powers were just separations on a piece of paper, and it would hardly keep real power from being transferred from one department to the other and for departments colluding to increase that power. Madison appreciated the flimsiness of parchment barriers, fine words inscribed on hallowed tablets, when faced with the encroaching spirit of power. And so this is what they were talking about back at the time of the Constitution, is the encroachment of power. And that's exactly what I was talking about at the beginning of the show when we were talking about the various so-called issues that the progressives use. And those issues are used for one thing, and that is to transfer power from the people themselves over to the progressives, and so that they can gather that power to themselves and use it for their own personal and selfish benefits. And when I say progressive, that doesn't mean a lot of the people, say, at the bottom, but the people who are running things at the top, and they understand what they're doing. It goes on. It says, Catherine the Great demonstrated her understanding of this point when she told Diderot that human skin is more sensitive than paper. And in other words, meaning that when, you know, people are pushed with various forms of power and so forth, they're more, they're subject to all of the pains and all of the downside of power far more than paper is. Madison, surveying the various state constitutions that had been put forward, noted that such parchment barriers were the primary security that the compilers of most of the American constitutions relied upon. In other words, these paper barriers were what we were relying upon. And the question is will they withstand the actual encroachments on power that human beings themselves use? So this is, you know, what we're talking about here. And this is the whole crux of the situation that's going on with the issues of today and the division of the country and the attempt to transfer power from one group of people, from the citizens, over to a few who want to run the country as they wish. Experience assures us, Madison wrote, that the efficacy of the provisions has been greatly overrated and that some more adequate defense is indispensably necessary for the more feeble against the more powerful members of the government. And we're going to stop here pretty quick, but that, when he asks about that there needs to be some kind of a more adequate defense, at one time we had the church and the state. We had a powerful Catholic church, and we had it as a distinct from the state, not separate, but distinct. And the church and the state playing off against each other is what gave us Western civilization. And we're going to get back to that point. And we're going to talk about the fact that Madison recognized there had to be something more than parchment barriers. And we're going to go on with that in a minute. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett, host of Catholic Answers Live. For me, Catholic Radio is an opportunity to be a little bit of light in a world that is succumbing more and more to darkness, to share that light with people who feel the darkness inside and really want the light and warmth of Jesus Christ. Invite others into this work the Holy Spirit is already doing. Invite them to listen to Catholic Answers Live.
Three Kings Gifts has sacramental and seasonal gifts, religious medals, rosaries, and more on the College Avenue Epiphany Church campus in Normal. Three Kings Gifts is open 10 to 3:30 on Thursday and Friday, 8 to 1 on Sunday. Profits help charitable organizations.
Has Catholic Spirit Radio touched you? Maybe it has brought you closer to God or even into the church. Tell us your story. Call or text our listener comment line. If you like, you can remain anonymous. 773-541-4159.
There's a new app, so Catholic Spirit Radio listeners with new phones, tablets, and other listening devices can also listen to our programs and podcasts. Go to your Google Play or Apple App Store to find the app Catholic Spirit Talk Radio. It's free. New app, same quality programs.
If you have some extra time, put those hours to use for the Lord. With Catholic Spirit Radio's growing radio network, we have three new behind-the-scenes volunteer positions. If you're interested, call the station. 309-807-2427.
Volunteers are specifically needed for each of these roles. First, an energetic and experienced event manager is needed to coordinate our spring and fall on-air fundraisers.
Give us a call if that's you.
Second, Catholic Spirit Radio needs 1 to 2 hours every 2 or 3 weeks from a volunteer or a team of two for lightweight general cleaning at our Normal location.
Give us a call if you and a friend are interested.
And third, we are in need of 1 to 2 spirit liaisons from each of these areas: Rockford, Harvard, Morris, DeKalb, Sycamore, Lincoln, Pontiac, and Clinton. These individuals will assist with informational tables at your local events.
Give us a call if you can help out.
Become part of our radio mission in 2024.
Volunteer at Catholic Spirit Radio.
309-807-2427.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston. You're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio. We're back from our break. We're talking about power, and we're talking basically about state power, and we're talking about how citizens need to be and can be protected from state power, and we're talking specifically right now about the Constitution of the United States and the fact that it was written in order to limit the government and keep the government from encroaching on the power of the citizens. And the question always is a constitution able to do that, or is it just a paper barrier that can easily be transgressed? We're talking also about the fact of the issues of the day and even issues earlier and earlier times, and how those issues can be used to advance a particular point of view and advance power from one group of people to another. We're talking about the fact that the progressives, using Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals, use issues always as never really being the issue, but as transferring power from others to themselves. And the whole idea of how do you limit power, and how does the Constitution limit power, and can it do that? And we were at the point where we were talking about Madison himself, James Madison, who wrote the Constitution, basically wrote most of the Constitution himself. And he is talking himself about, would it be adequate to keep power in check, keep the government's power in check? And he was very doubtful that it would, unless there was some other agency that could do that. And on this show, you've heard me over time point out the fact that Western civilization was actually built because there was a counterpower, there was a balance to the state with the church. At one time, there was a Catholic Church, and there was a distinction between the church and state, not a separation. And when the church and the state were played off against each other, the church limited the state power and the state limited the church power. And by the two of them working at odds with each other in that way, they actually provided the umbrella for Western civilization to flourish. And they provided a state that was functional, and they provided a church that was functional. And in our modern times, that church has been removed with the idea of so-called religious freedom, where there are all different types of religions all working against each other, and the state gaining more and more power because there is no single powerful church to oppose it as there used to be. And so that's what we're talking about here. And so Madison goes on and he says, experience assures us that there has to be something more than paper barriers that's necessary to guard against the more powerful members of the government. And why? Because human nature was, as Hobbes observed, addicted to the perpetual and restless desire of power after power that ceases only in death. So Madison put in terms of government acquisitiveness, put it in terms of government acquisitiveness. Here's what he said. He said, the legislative department, he wrote, is everywhere extending the sphere of its activity and drawing all power into its impetuous vortex. Drawing all power into its impetuous vortex. So, in other words, the legislative is always trying to draw power to itself over the judicial system. And we see that today in this lawfare that is going on, and we'll talk about it some more here, President Trump. But at this point, I want to go point out that there was back at the time of the founding of our country, or closer to it, back at the turn of the 19th century, a man by the name of Orestes Brownson. And he was a Protestant who converted to Catholicism. And he said, pointed out that Catholicism, in his opinion, was needed in order to be a check against the government. And so I want to read from some of the things that Orestes Brownson said. And it will make it a little bit clearer that from the very beginning, people understood that a constitution by itself is probably not going to be strong enough to protect from the government. And there has to be something else beside that. Madison came up with a solution, and that solution was simply people being constantly aware of this and constantly upholding the Constitution. But is that enough? Brownson didn't think so. Brownson said, America's insuperable problem was, America's insuperable problem was earlier, before today, identified by the renowned Protestant convert to Catholicism, Orestes Brownson, who addressed it with ruthless logic in an essay entitled Catholicity Necessary to Sustain Popular Liberty, which he wrote in 1845. Only a year after his conversion from Protestantism to Catholicism. Brownson observed that the Constitution is a dead letter. And this was in 1845, remember. It has been becoming in practice and is now substantially a pure democracy, with no effective constitution but the will of the majority. Only religion could save America, from the majoritarian tyranny. So he said this back in 1845. He argued the Protestant religion could not save America because Protestantism, like democracy itself, is subject to the control of the people and must command and teach what they say. So in other words, here we have at the very beginning of our country, really, a person recognizing this problem of power that we are now dealing with more and more. We've been dealing with it for a long time, but it is really coming to a head in our times, in our day and age. And this is the very crux of what Madison was talking about, the crux of what our founders were trying to control, and this is the crux that Orestes Brownson argued. And at that very early time, he pointed out, and I've said it before, that a country needs a strong religion to be a counterpart to the state. It cannot be the state itself, and it cannot be the religion itself. And we have that situation occurred with Catholicism, when the church was a powerful organization, when the church and the state were distinct from each other but not separate. Things functioned in such a way that Western civilization flourished and was built. In other words, the church did its part, and the state did its part, and the two balanced each other. When the church became the state, things didn't work, and when the state became the church, things didn't work. So this is what is necessary, and I've said it before, but the point is that I think what's going on today illustrates it more than ever. He goes on, answering the charge that he would place religion in America under the dominion of the Pope, Brownson turned that very charge into the proof of his argument. This is good proof of our position, he said, that Protestantism cannot govern the people, for they govern it, and therefore that Protestantism is not the religion wanted, for it is precisely a religion that can and will govern the people and be their master that we need. Of course, only one church fits that description. Only one is headed by a figure whose authority, spiritual, not political, and we have to remember, we have to keep the two things distinct, but not necessarily separate. Brownson stressed, is accepted as final and binding by the faith of its members. The Roman Catholic religion, then, he concluded, is necessary to sustain popular liberty, because popular liberty can be sustained only by a religion free from popular control. Above the people, speaking from above and able to command them, and such a religion is the Roman Catholic. He goes on, he said, the framers, Brownson noted, had thought they could restrain the tyranny of the majority by a written constitution, but we've just been talking about the fact that the framers themselves were very, very worried about that problem, and Madison, who wrote the Constitution, was extremely worried about it himself. He says, but they entrusted the preservation of the Constitution to the care of the people, which was as wise as to lock up your culprit in prison and entrust him with the key. Writing only 3 years before his death, in the very year, Brownson, I think it was 1873, Brownson, now a bitterly disillusioned former Americanist, linked the coming catastrophic moral decline precisely to the tendencies of Protestant Christianity. Now, he's not blaming Protestant Christianity. He's saying simply that because Protestant Christianity is not unified and a country no longer has a unified church as a balance to the state, that the power is accruing from the people over to certain members of the state, especially the legislative branch, and that is what we see that is happening today. He goes on, Brownson says, where the people are Catholic and submissive to the law of God, as declared and applied by the Vicar of Christ and Supreme Pastor of the Church, democracy is a good form of government. But combined with Protestantism or infidelity in the people, its inevitable tendency is to lower the standard of morality, to enfeeble intellect, to abase character, and to retard civilization, as even our short American experience amply proves. And he was saying this in 1873, from 1845 to 1873, 1845, when he first started talking about this problem. And he says, our republic may have had a material expansion and growth, but every observing and reflecting American, whose memory goes back as mine does, over 50 years, sees that in all else it is tending downward and is on the declivity of utter barbarism. What do you think he would think if he saw the conditions today, Lynn? He was thinking that we were on our way to barbarism back in 1873. What if he could see things in 2024?
Well, all you need to do is take him up to the college campuses, the universities. And if you want to know what democracy brings, it's the will of a few making the rest conform. And there it is.
Exactly. And here,
I mean, there are kids that young adults who have not had a high school graduation, and they will not have a college ceremony graduation commencement because of a few that don't even know what they are demonstrating for. When asked, you say from the river to the sea, what river are you talking about? They have no idea. So right. Who rules who here?
And that's exactly the point is that the problem is a problem of power. It was recognized by the framers of the Constitution themselves, by the writer of the Constitution himself, and it was seen by a convert from Protestantism to Catholicism, and this is how it ties in with Catholicism. And it is my contention, and has always been my contention, that Western civilization was built because there was two distinct powers. One was the state and one was the church. And when the church was unified and the people were unified under the church, and the church was kept distinct from the state, not separate, because spirituality can never be separate. People cannot go into church and profess a certain morality within four walls and then walk outside the church and drop it all. Or in other words, when you separate the state totally from the church so that religion is kept out of the public square, you have a huge problem. And when you do have religion even in the public square, but that religion is divided down into thousands and thousands of different religions, each considered equal, all of them, in effect, lose their power, and you have simply the state, and the state becomes the church. And that's what we're having today. There's no balance of power against the government. It was the church that was the balance of power. And when the church was the state, things were bad. And when the state was the church, things were bad. And you need a state and a church that are distinct from each other, but not separate from each other. And they provide the unity and the balance that makes a Western-type civilization possible.
Right. The religion and the state, although they're distinct, they have to be one in a sense, that the people believe in the same things.
Yes, people have
it to. It won't function if you have, well, just go look at the college campuses.
Exactly. People
you,
have to
you
have
can't
a unity.
Be diverse.
Exactly. They have to have a unity, and they also have to have a balance. They have to have
right.
a unity, and that unity has to also be balanced by a power on one side, the church, and a power on the other side, the state. They have to be distinct from each other, not separate from each other, because if they're separate, they don't provide the unity. But they have to be distinct, one doing its thing and the other doing its thing, both having power and both balancing each other. But at any rate, this goes on. The article, again, it goes on, and I'll continue with it. Does the Constitution matter by Roger Kimball here in the Epoch Times and talk a little bit more about it. It says here, so for example, in Article 1, Section 9, we read that no bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed. But ask former President Donald Trump about that. Congress hasn't explicitly passed any bills of attainder. But the executive branch, operating through the Department of Justice, has in effect enacted one against the former president. And what they're talking about with the Bill of Attainder and also an ex post facto law, if you remember, maybe I hope you had some constitutional studies in high school, as most of us did. But the bill of attainder would be a bill that would take away property from a private person without, you know, the due process of law. And there has been an attempt to take property away, I can't get into all the details, from Donald Trump without really a proper due process of law. And when he talks about an ex post facto law, I think he's talking about Trump and his battle with E. Jean Carroll, and can't get into that. But what I think we have in modern times is, in the sense of an ex post facto law, are sneaky ex post facto laws, in the sense that they're not new laws on the books. It's not like passing a law after a person has done something and then saying that it's illegal. But it's having a law that is never used against certain things as being illegal, and then applying that law specifically only to certain persons under, you know, the same circumstances, so that the law is applied differently to a particular person, making him doing something that everybody else does, making it illegal for him in a particular case, but not illegal for other people. And I think that's what's been done to Donald Trump. And that, in effect, in my opinion, is sort of a sneaky ex post facto law. At any rate, we're going to have to stop here and take a break. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio.
If you have some extra time, put those hours to use for the Lord. With Catholic Spirit Radio's growing radio network, we have 3 new behind-the-scenes volunteer positions. If you're interested, call the station, 309-807-2427.
Volunteers are specifically needed for each of these roles. First, an energetic and experienced event manager is needed to coordinate our spring and fall on-air fundraisers.
Give us a call if that's you.
Second, Catholic Spirit Radio needs 1 to 2 hours every 2 or 3 weeks from a volunteer or a team of 2 for lightweight general cleaning at our normal location.
Give us a call if you and a friend are interested.
And third, we are in need of 1 to 2 spirit liaisons from each of these areas: Rockford, Harvard, Morris, DeKalb, Sycamore, Lincoln, Pontiac, and Clinton. These individuals will assist with informational tables at your local events.
Give us a call if you can help out.
Become part of our radio mission in 2024.
Volunteer at Catholic Spirit Radio.
309-807-2427.
There's a new app, so Catholic Spirit Radio listeners with new phones, tablets, and other listening devices can also listen to our programs and podcasts. Go to your Google Play or Apple App Store to find the app Catholic Spirit Talk Radio. It's free. New app, same quality programs.
Has Catholic Spirit Radio touched you? Maybe it has brought you closer to God or even into the church. Tell us your story. Call or text our listener comment line. If you like, you can remain an anonymous, 773-541-4159.
Hi, this is Bob Johnston. You're listening to Being Catholic right here on Catholic Spirit Radio. We're back from our break, and we've been talking about power. We've been talking about Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. And the idea of a means of using issues and so forth as a means of transferring power from one group of people, citizens in general, to another group of people, a certain elite that wants to draw power to itself. And we're talking about how those issues, especially the modern issues, often are manipulated, especially by progressives, in such a way that the issues are never really the issue. The idea of the transfer of power is always the issue. And we were talking about how our founders saw that very problem from the very beginning and wrote a constitution to try to deal with it, to try to limit the power of government. And, but at the same time had very strong reservations about whether a constitution by itself would work. And we went on to talk about how James Madison said, "Experience assures us that the efficacy of the provision has been greatly overrated," in other words, the provisions he has put himself in the Constitution, "and that some more adequate defense is indispensably necessary." And Madison himself goes on to talk about it's necessary for the citizens in all times to understand their Constitution, to believe in their Constitution, and to insist on the enforcement of their Constitution, and to be unified in that. And that is a very, very tricky proposition. And in my opinion, that by itself is not enough. It would be a lot better than what we have, but it's not enough. Western civilization, whether by intent or whether by very lucky, miraculous intervention of God, was built because there was a functional church and a functional state, both a functional religion and a functional politics, and the two were distinct from each other but not separate from each other, and working together as a balance to each other, one against the other, they provided the space for Western civilization to flourish. And when we had the so-called Reformation, that Reformation destroyed the unity of that church. And without that church, the Catholic Church, to balance the government, then you have the government in effect becoming the church. And we could see even in the past, before that time, there were various times in Western history when the church gained too much power and things did not go well. And then there were other times when the state gained too much power and things did not go well. And it's best to have a distinct church and a distinct state, both separate in that sense from each other, but not separate in the sense of the being the one or the other being ruled out of the public square and religion being ruled out of the public square, and not separate in the sense of the church having a universal unifying effect on the people. And without that, the Western civilization is in decline. And it's as clear as a bell. And I don't think most people understand what the real problem is. And so they keep on trying to go back to our Constitution, its beginnings, and so forth. And none of that is working. And I think what we need is a strong church and a strong state, and the two balanced against each other. So at any rate, he goes on here. He says, then there is the parchment bit. This is reading again from Roger Kimball in Does the Constitution Matter? He says, then there is the parchment barrier of the Eighth Amendment, which in addition to prohibiting cruel and unusual punishment, says that excessive fines shall not be imposed. President Trump has been fined more than $500 million, the bond for which was just reduced to $175 million. But can you imagine it supposedly for evaluating his property at more than it was worth, at least that's the charge, somehow or another, he is supposed to be fined $500 million. But the fact is that he was borrowing money on property that he evaluated at a certain sum and then invited the bank to offer their evaluation and decide whether or not to make the loan. The bank evaluated the property. It had every opportunity to decide whether the property was worth what Donald said it was or not. And then it decided to make the loan. It made the loan. Donald Trump paid off the loan. The bank was happy and satisfied. Everybody was paid. There was no crime. There was nothing done. But supposedly, because he didn't evaluate his property low enough, he evaluated it too high, he should therefore then have a fine of $500 million? I mean, for what crime? I mean, if that's not cruel and unusual punishment or excessive fines, and our Constitution forbids that, I don't know what is. But the point is that the writer here, Kimball, is just making the point that our Constitution is being violated all of the time, and it has been in violation for a long, long time. And Madison's idea of simply having the people constantly upholding the Constitution simply hasn't been enough to protect it. We need something more than a Constitution, a piece of paper, a parchment barrier. It's just not enough. It's a good indication. And if people understand it and are taught more about it better, it would be better. But nevertheless, there needs to be something much stronger than a constitution to stand up against the excessive power accumulation of the state, and vice versa. There needs to be a state to stand up against power accumulation of a church. And we had that under Western civilization with the Catholic Church. And now that the so-called Reformation has degenerated religions into thousands and thousands of different religions, none of them working together with each other as they should be, this is the problem. So it goes on here. It says, President Trump has been fined more than $500 million for loans that, moreover, the issuing bank said it was happy to have made with President Trump. So this was a crime with no victims, a fraud in which no one was defrauded. No harm was done, and yet a vindictive attorney general who campaigned for her job on the promise to get Trump and a rogue judge imposed an almost comical judgment against a man they despise. And you know, just think about this, what has happened here. If this is not a tremendously great example of what Madison and the founders worried that the degeneration of the Constitution would lead to, I don't know what is. I mean, it's...
That's exactly right. Just think of it. If someone doesn't like you, can they take you to court and make false accusations and take everything you own?
Exactly. And if these people were worried about it from the very beginning, and if Orestes Brownson saw what the problem was, he saw, like he said, that the Protestant church could not be the guard against the state power that the Catholic church was, because Protestantism is divided. And when you are in the Protestant, which church should rule? When you have one unified church, that church should rule. And so, therefore, it provides a balance of the state, each one being distinct from the other, but not separate from the other. It goes on here. It says, the U.S. Constitution is a noble, indeed a visionary document. So, as it happens, is the Constitution of the Russian Federation. He's talking here about the Soviet Union. And if you read the Constitution of the Soviet Union, it's a wonderful document. But consider that. It's a wonderful document, but you still had the Soviet Union with all that implies. It's much younger than the U.S. Constitution, dating from the post-Soviet dispensation. But it echoes with many of the fine sentiments of its American cousin. Russia, you will be pleased to know, is a democratic, federal, law-bound state with a republican form of government. Read the Soviet Constitution. Read the present Russian Constitution, which I think they're talking about here. But the point is that go and live in the Soviet Union, or go live in even modern-day Russia, and you have a lot of the power and things that are going on and starting to happen in our own country. It says, moreover, man, his rights and freedom are the supreme value. And the recognition, observation, and protection of the rights and freedom of man and citizens shall be the obligation of the state. But is that what's happening in Russia? Of course not. And is that paper constitution stopping what's happening there? Of course it's not. It sounds good, right? And you'll be further pleased to know that in the Russian Federation, political diversity and multi-party system shall be recognized. All of that is in their constitution just as it is in ours. But if the people are not strong believers in it, and if there isn't any balance to the state, if the state becomes one-sided, then you see what happens in Russia, despite the fact that it has a constitution just as wonderful and just as echoing, you know, all of the things of our constitution that really don't stop the state from overriding what the constitution is supposed to stand for. It goes on here and it says, in Russia, the list of victims is long, and if President Joe Biden's administration has not yet gotten around to putting plutonium in the tea of its opponents, they're referring here to what supposedly the Russian government or the Soviet Union does, that is poisoning people that it disagrees with, put that down as a local variation. He's being very, very, Roger Kimball is being very, very sarcastic here. For the moment, it is finding that lawfare, Don raids by the FBI, and systematic censorship of opinions it deems unhelpful are sufficient unto the day. He's talking about, in other words, what's happening under our Constitution are many unconstitutional things. Raids and so forth, the government being used and the law being used to punish people that they don't like, the government and laws and so forth intruding into politics, and this is happening with the Trump that is going on around us. He said, my point is this, you can have as splendid a constitution on paper as it is possible for the ingenuity of man to devise. In other words, you can write probably a constitution, especially if you look at our own constitution, and how it's put together. You can probably even improve on it. You can probably write one that even has more safeguards and maybe even better than our Constitution. But the question is, it's a piece of paper. What good does it do against raw power? And that's the question that Madison asked. That's the question that the founders asked. That's the question that Brownson asked. There has to be a balance. And my opinion is that without the church to provide that balance, a strong church, Western civilization is going into a crisis. It isn't just only the United States. It's Western civilization itself that is having a crisis. That crisis is not simply material. That crisis is spiritual as well as material. And there needs to be a strong, unified religion to oppose the power of the state and vice versa. And without that, we do not have the means necessary to provide a vital and healthy Western civilization. And it says that the splendid constitution will matter not at all if the rule of law is not fed by the springs of public sentiment. But that public sentiment really simply is not self-starting. It needs a leadership such as the church to provide it with the balance to the power of the state. A constitution is a guarantor of the general welfare only so long as its provisions are publicly acknowledged and adhered to. They are only publicly acknowledged and adhered to when they are believed in. And they are only believed in when their provisions are, so far as humanly possible, impartially applied. Now, all of that's nice, and it should be that the people themselves somehow or another should do all of those things. But the fact is there needs to be an organization that leads along those lines, that provides that balance, that did so in the past, and that was the Catholic Church. That is not the case in the United States circa 2024. Everyone knows it, although not everyone will yet admit it. The resulting tension is what psychologists call cognitive dissonance. Political theorists have other less emollient words for the phenomenon. Madison, in any event, was right. A mere demarcation on parchment of constitutional limits is not a sufficient guard against those encroachments which lead to a tyrannical concentration of all the powers of government in the same hands. So Madison understood that himself, as simply hoping that the people will hold the Constitution as sacred and be unified in understanding and believing in it and supporting it is not enough either. It needs a strong organizational leadership, and that strong organizational leadership, that balance was always provided by the Catholic Church, and that's what built Western civilization, and that's my whole point here, that without that Catholic Church, Western civilization is in decline here and also in Europe. Christendom itself was, you know, built by the balance of those two powers, the state and the church. And Christendom was one huge organization that built Western civilization. So that's my whole point here. But going back to the idea of power, remember that the issues of today are never issues simply about the issues themselves. They're always issues about power. And when you see the progressive pushing a certain issue, those issues aren't being pushed for the issues themselves. They're being pushed for power. The issue is never the issue. The issue is always power, and it's transfer from one group of people to another. So you want to comment any more on that, Lynn?
It's very true, and you got to be careful who's pushing for this power. And today, especially, you need to be well-informed and look at what is happening. Not only just the United States, but all over the world, this push for power.
And Mike,
where is it? Where's it coming from? There's your answer. Probably follow the dollar would be a good beginning.
And my conclusion is that Catholics need to recognize the fact that they need to stand up for Catholicism again. They need to understand that the Catholic Church has always considered itself an authority, and it has always considered that it has the authority to talk on moral issues, and that Catholics themselves have to start realizing the importance of the church, and they have to start building a Catholic resistance to what's going on, taking pride again in Catholicism, understanding that it was their church, the church that Jesus Christ started, that actually was that one of the huge pillars of Western civilization, and without the pillar of the Catholic Church, without the pillar of the church that Christ started, without that church, Western civilization is in serious decline. And I don't think myself, my opinion is that there will be nothing other than the restoration of one solid, unified church that will lead to its being rebuilt. And without that, Western civilization is going to fall. That's my understanding. That's how I think of it. And I hope other people out there will agree with me and with Lynn as well. Anyway, St. Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And be thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all evil spirits who wander through the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
You've been listening to Being Catholic with Bob Johnston on Catholic Spirit Radio. If you'd like to contact Bob, email bob@catholicspiritradio.com. Again, that's bob@catholicspiritradio.com. Catholic Spirit Radio relies on your support to bring programming like this and EWTN 24 hours a day. Please help keep Catholic Spirit Radio on the air with your generous support. Donate online at catholicspiritradio.com or send a donation to Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. That's Catholic Spirit Radio, 108 Boykins Place, Normal, Illinois, 61761. Catholic Spirit Radio is a 501c3, and all donations are tax deductible. Thank you for your support of Catholic Spirit Radio.